Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this July the 28th, 2009, on the West Coast, now July the 29th, on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone, as well as everywhere else east of the Atlantic Ocean. So nice to have everyone who is possibly with us on Blog Talk Radio, as well as Wind Talkers Radio Network. We appreciate you listening to the show and spreading it far and wide. I want to open up with a short message that was within the recent article that I released last week. It's part seven of The Three Stooges Go to Washington, Barack Obama, Who's Your Daddy? And this particular piece that I'm going to read to you comes from the second part of the article, and I thought this is worth sharing because this is someone else's view, someone who had heard this name long before most of us had ever heard the name. It's called, it's written by Tom Fife, and it was published at Rents.com on November the 20th of 2008. And, of course, this was after the presidential election. It's called The First Time I Heard of Barack. During the period of roughly February 1992 to mid-1994, I was making frequent trips to Moscow, Russia, in the process of starting a software development joint venture company with some people from the Russian scientific community. One of the men in charge on the Russian side was named V.M. He had a wife named T.M. V was a level-headed scientist, while his wife was rather deeply committed to the losing communist cause, a cause she obviously was not abandoning. One evening during a trip early in 1992, the American half of our venture were invited to V and T's Moscow flat as we were about to return to the States. The party went well, and we had the normal dinner discussions. As the evening wore on, T developed a decidedly rough anti-American edge, one her husband tried to quietly rein in. The bottom line of the tirade she started against the United States went something like this, quote, "You Americans always like to think that you have the perfect government and your people are always so perfect. Well then, why haven't you had a woman president by now? You had a chance to vote for a woman vice president and you didn't do it." The general response went something along the lines that you don't vote for someone just because of their sex. Besides, you don't vote for vice president, but the president and vice president as a ticket. Again, back to her quote, "Well, I think you are going to be surprised when you get a black president very soon," unquote. The consensus we expressed was that we didn't think there was anything innately barring that. The right person at the right time, and sure, American would try to vote for the right person, be he or she black or not. Quote, "What if I told you that you will have a black president very soon and he will be a communist?" Unquote. The out-of-the-blue remark was met by our stares. She continued, "Well, you will, and he will be a communist." It was then that the husband unsuccessfully tried to change the subject, but she was on a roll and would have nothing of it. One of us asked, "It sounds like you know something we don't know." "Yes, it is true. This is not some idle talk. He is already born, and he is educated and being groomed to be the president right now. You will be impressed to know that he has gone to the best schools of presidents. He is what you call Ivy League. You don't believe me, but he is real, and I even know his name. His name is Barack. His mother is white and American, and his father is black from Africa. That's right, a chocolate baby, and he's going to be your president." She became more and more smug, as she presented her stream of detailed knowledge and predictions so matter-of-factly as though all were foregone conclusions. It's all been thought out. His father is not an American black, so he won't have that social slave stigma. He is intelligent, and he is half white, and has been raised from the cradle to be an atheist and a communist. He's gone to the finest schools. He's being guided every step of the way, and he will be irresistible to America. We sat there not knowing what to say. She was obviously very happy that the communists were doing this and that, and that would somehow be a thumbing of their collective noses at America. They would give us a black president, and he'd be a communist to boot. She made it quite obvious that she thought that this was going to breathe new life into world communism. From this and other conversations with her, she always asserted that communism was far from dead. She was full of little details about him that she was eager to relate. I thought that maybe she was trying to show off that this truly was a real person and not just hot air. She rattled off a complete litany. He was from Hawaii. He went to school in California. He lived in Chicago. He was soon to be elected to the legislature. Have no doubt he is one of us, a Soviet. At one point, she related some sort of San Francisco connection, but I didn't understand what the point was and don't recall much about that. I was just left with the notion that she considered the city to be some sort of a center for their activity here. Since I had dabbled in languages, I knew a smattering of Arabic. I made a comment. If I remember correctly, Barak comes from the Arabic word for blessing. That seems to be an odd name for an American. She replied quickly, yes, it is African, she insisted, and he will be a blessing for world communism. We will regain our strength and become the number one power in the world. She continued with something to the effect that America was at the same time the great hope and the great obstacle for communism. America would have to be converted to communism, and Barak was going to pave the way. So, what does this conversation from 1992 prove? Well, it's definitely anecdotal. It doesn't prove that Obama has had Soviet communist training, nor that he was groomed to be the first black American president, but it does show one thing that I think is very important. It shows that Soviet Russian communists knew of Barak from a very early date. It also shows that they truly believed among themselves that he was raised and groomed communist to pave the way for their future. This report on Barak came personally to me from one of them long before America knew he existed. Although I had never before heard of him, at the time of this conversation, Obama was 30-plus years old and was obviously tested enough that he was their anticipated rising star, Tom Fife. Now, why did I share that with my listening audience? Well, if you have been to my website and you have read The Three Stooges Go to Washington, Parts 7 and A and B, you will recognize a few of the details in this letter that I discovered in my research. But I will tell you definitively that the story about Hawaii and Kenya is a misdirection. It's the Hegelian dialectic, and there's not a shred of truth to either story. The only connection Barack Obama has to Hawaii is the illicit drug trade through the banks, part of which are owned by pharmaceutical companies. And my research lays that out plain and simple. Now, the story that this lady told is based partly upon something that she knew, but I can tell you she was spinning the spin years before the media, which is now doing it upon the release of this article. They finally, on mainstream media, have been talking about this Hegelian dialectical argument between was he born in Hawaii or was he born in Kenya? And I tell you, he was not born to those being claimed his parents or to these grandparents. It's a farce. It's a hoax. It's a fairy tale. And that's all it is. And as the days and weeks that are following this night go on, I will be talking about this to a great extent, and I urge you to listen. I'll be on Barbara Jean's Born on the 4th of July show on Republic Broadcasting Network, and that is from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 to 3 Central Time. Also, I will be on Drew Rain's Marines Disquisition. That's from 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 to 6 Central. And you folks can figure out the other times. Don't want to take up all the show on that, but that's tomorrow. And I will have Michael Anthony on as my guest tomorrow night. Drew Rains will be here on Thursday, Jim Murray on Friday. With that, it's time to welcome tonight's guest. He is a frequent guest on Evident Footprints. He is a metaphysical scientist, a studious one at that. He is also a journalist, and he hosts one of the most popular websites in the world, educate-yourself.org, and he's my good friend, Ken Adachi. Ken, welcome to the show.
Hello, Don. Thank you very much for having me on again, and thank you, as always, for an overgenerous introduction. I appreciate the words.
Well, it's not always that I introduce you with an article about Barack Obama, so I should have introduced you first, actually.
No, that's fine.
Anyway, you got to hear this piece, and I know you read it, and it's got, you know, there are half-truths in this thing. Certainly, I agree with the statements made about communism. I don't agree with Hawaii. I don't agree with many of the things that are being claimed here, and my research backs that up, I want to say. Mm-hmm. So I just felt like I needed to bring that out because of the amount of propaganda now coming out on the mainstream. All of a sudden, with the release of this article, the mainstream media is actually divulging that there's possibly some controversy over a birth in Kenya. So they've now taken what has been transpiring for the past year and a half on the internet, and they're bringing it into mainstream. What does that tell you about my research?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's clear. You know, you were on the right track.
Yeah,
along.
Yeah, we've got another cover up underway, don't we?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I might just say though, just to touch on that. That area for a moment. I think more Americans, a lot more Americans, should really take the time to read the goals of communists and communism. They're clearly stated. It was organized into a formal text in 1848 by Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels, and they said, this is what we believe is what communism and communists stand for. It's called the Communist Manifesto. It's not such a terribly long read. I mean, it's not, let's say, nearly as long as Mein Kampf, for instance. And Americans should know exactly what communists ideally claim they're after, because if you simply read their published ideals, one thing I learned, or we learned, when I was a kid growing up in America and the school systems, etc., when we were taught about what is communism in school, we often heard that the ideal communist model sounds good, but the reality of day-to-day real communism was a far cry from what the text made it sound like. Well, at this age, you know, I've read the text, I've read the Communist Manifesto, I have it published on my website, I've referred to it in a number of articles recently. If you simply read what they intend to do, what they plan to do, you will first understand that what people on the so-called political left of this country, which we politely refer to as those with a socialist agenda, or there are politically geared towards socialism, have embraced for a long time and have promoted. You'll see that plank by plank, if you simply read the Communist Manifesto, you see the goal that they stated in the Communist Manifesto to create the ideal communist society that those on the left in this country have gone to a great extent have accomplished already. I just saw yet another brilliant article by Henry Mackow just posted, yesterday. I put it up on my website today, in which he's talking about yet another victim of the feminist takeover, if you will, of the family court system in this country, which I can remember quite clearly how it came about. There was this agitation that sort of began to pick up in the mid-1960s, but really had a head of steam by the end of the 60s into the early 70s. The movement was called feminism, and all the, you know, the people, the women who were fronting themselves as being, quote, you know, Betty Friedan, Gloria Steinem, there was a number of them.
Jane Fonda.
Yeah, well, Jane Fonda, yeah, indirectly, but I'm talking about the people who, you know, authored books and, you know, the Betty Friedan types. There was a number of them.
Bella Abzug.
Bella Abzug is another example. She was a politician, but she, of course, embraced that movement and called herself a feminist and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it really gained steam from 1970 forwards. Well, by the mid to late 70s, what they had done is that they've successfully intimidated so many male politicians in Washington that they caused a profound change. I can't remember the exact year. Was it 73, 75? I can't remember exactly. But it used to be in this country, as it is today in Japan, if a man and woman want to get to divorce from each other, the way the law exists in Japan today and has been, you know, since World War II, when they, you know, put in the new constitution following the war, that both parties, the husband and the wife, must agree to the divorce. It used to be that way in America, and that in order to, quote, create a legal situation where you can get divorced from somebody without his consent or her consent, you could go into court, and if you could, you know, prove with great, you know, documentation or photographs that the other party had, you know, cheated on you or had embezzled you, or it had to be something that you can prove as, you know, something substantial, and then possibly, if you had the right lawyer, you can get a divorce from someone. But for most people, if you wanted to get a divorce, you had to agree to get a divorce. The feminist, because of that movement, which we now well know, I didn't know it at the time, but we now well know was funded, put into movement, put you know, it started, encouraged, grew under the auspices of the Illuminati. It was part of their deals. Why? To break up the American family.
Exactly.
As a cohesive nuclear bonding force that held men and women and children together as a unit of, you know, loving consideration for, you know, the welfare of all within that. This is at the heart, and it says right in the Communist Manifesto. I've got it highlighted in the article I just put up a week or so ago. I referenced that part of it, and so when the person clicks on the link, they go right to that section of Communist Manifesto in which they declare they want to break up the family. They declare that they want, instead of instead of having the false pretext of, you know, the way they said it in the Communist Manifesto, they refer to the working classes, the proletariat, and the middle and upper classes, the bourgeoisie. Essentially, the bourgeoisie is the equivalent of what we call the middle class in America. Okay, it's not the very wealthy. It's the, you know, what they refer to as the merchant class. Okay, so if someone owns a business and has three employees or two employees, as far as communists are concerned, that person is a member of the bourgeoisie. And their goal is, they say it right there, to abandon any notion of the need to commit, you know, husband and wife to each other. Why have a mistress and a lot of mistresses pretend you're married within this family and the church and all that, and yet you're cheating on the side? Do it openly. They advocate free love. That's what it says in 1848, Communist Manifesto. And they say right there that we don't need families. We can just have people come together without getting married, and they could have children. It's okay. And it's okay for the state to raise their children and for the children to be independent of the control, the will of the father and the mother, that they have the right to do their own thing from babyhood forward. Just read the Communist Manifesto. It's right there. Mm-hmm.
And parents wonder why they've lost control of their children after they've been brainwashed through the educational system and through the media and through all the enticements. You know, we could spend a lot of time on this.
I just wanted to emphasize the notion.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
Americans need to read the Communist Manifesto. It prints out to, I forget, so many pages. It's not that long a read, 14, 15 pages.
Yeah.
But at least you can see clearly, these are goals they stated in the middle of the 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
You can see in the beginning of the 21st century, they've accomplished most of them here in America. We're in the final stages of the, the communist takeover of America. It doesn't matter if we say fascist takeover or communist takeover. It doesn't matter. It's both states are one of the state, the government lords it over the individual.
Yes.
That the individual is under the complete thumb of the will of the government. So whoever's running the government, that's who's leading you around by the nose.
Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about here is a political ideology. It's not the consensus of the people that live in all these countries. You see, I find TM, as she's referred to in this piece that I read from Tom Fife, being rather hypocritical in her statement that we had a chance to elect a woman as president. No, we're not electing a woman as president. We had a woman that was running on a ticket with a man, and she was running for vice president. But tell me, TM, or any of your friends out there, when did Soviet Russia ever elect a woman as president?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see? Or to any political position, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes.
Anything that I've seen. So that comment, although it's intended to inflame and to put us down, is very hypocritical. Extremely hypocritical, and it's furthering an idealism that is not very practical and not the wishes of the people. You're talking about oppression.
Of course,
I just wanted to make that
yeah.
point. Because
and the woman who's speaking, you're absolutely right, Don. And the woman who's speaking is a committed ideologue.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of these many brainwashed individuals. I mean, we have them here in America. We have them in Germany. We have them in Russia. We have them all over the world whose lives have been taken over and directed in the goals of what is in reality and in a philosophy of enslavement. And, you know, we've had more than enough fools in this country, particularly in the 1930s. You had Hollywood and, you know, the left. Typically in the arts, you find most people, I'm talking about, you know, in music, theater, etc., people in the arts tend to be politically very much on the left. This is, I used to be in the music business for a number of years. I'm sure you've experienced that as well.
Mm-hmm.
That when you go to parties and so forth, talk privately, you never hear the conservative point of view in political talk. It's always an embracing of the left point of view.
Well, I find it absurd that creative people, artists or musicians or actors or entertainers, have to lean one way or the other politically. Their art has nothing to do with politics, really.
No, it doesn't. But it's just that temperament. And listen, I find the majority of people on the left are well-intentioned people. They're sensitive in almost all cases. They're well-intentioned, and they are sensitive to human suffering. I understand there is many areas of or views or opinions that I agree with that are what the, you know, are what the left promotes. But there is this whole segment of the left, and it's the majority of them, who can't recognize the wheat from the chaff when it comes to the deception involving socialism and communism. Socialism is just a less profound version of communism. It's the same game.
Mm-hmm.
If you go far enough left, you move from the boundaries of socialism into pure communism. And that is an enslaved society, as is the progression from conservative thought towards fascism. That leads into us enslaved society on both extremes. So, you know, when the Republicans, you know, Bush is in office, we get fascism. When the Democrats in office, Clinton, Obama, we get a ramping up of, you know, communist stuff.
Yeah.
And it is not what the average American wants, who wants to raise a family, who wants to have their, you know, kids not be on drugs, who wants to get along with his wife, who does not want to get divorced. Well, the average Russian citizen, the average Ukrainian citizen, the average citizen in every country of the world wants the same thing the average American citizens want. Our lives are ruined, essentially, by these ideologues of the type of that this woman is, and the sort of groomed phonies, agents like Obama and all of his administration, and now the vast majority of Congress, to be sure.
Yeah.
These agents are working for a larger part power structure that has nothing to do with us, has everything to do with a group that's hell-bent on enslaving that part of humanity that they don't destroy with their genocide.
Yeah, and
operation.
Yeah, genocide and organized crime. Basically, mm-hmm. that's it. Steal anything in sight, whether it walks, talks, or just sits there. Steal it. Claim it for your own. And that is something that everybody, I don't care if people in Russia who are listening to us right now, or in China, or Australia, or New Zealand, or anywhere throughout Europe, or anywhere across the United States, Central or South America, anywhere on the planet that are listening to this show, it's the governments that do this to the people.
Yes.
Who is it that came up with the brilliant idea of vaccinations? Is this something the people want? Do we want this in our country? Do they want that in Russia? Do they want that in China or throughout Europe? To be vaccinated with a pathogen that's going to kill billions of people? Are we asking for that? That's what communism gives us, or socialism, or fascism, or Zionism. It's insanity, and we have to take action. We have to do something about it. That's the whole reason for prefacing tonight's show in the manner we did, because I know you want to talk about the vaccines.
Yes,
I don't want to give the communists any more attention than they've already had.
All right, I just want to give you just a few more words for humanity, because it's important that if I was to talk about Russians, I would always distinguish between the conduct of the Russian government you know, who's really the kingpin behind the scenes in Russia? Of course it's Putin. Putin. We know that. The Russian people know that. Who, of course, Obama, the fraudulent imposter, is a Rockefeller-groomed agent who's here representing the American army, the Illuminati, the Rockefellers. But Rockefeller is, of course, under the aegis of the Rothschilds of Europe. But anyway, we still have, who's really in the background here in the American Illuminati? Bush Sr. So just as Putin is the main force to be contend with behind the scenes in Russia, Bush Sr. is still the main force behind the scenes here in America. So the Russian people know that. We know that. So when an ideologue refers to the Americans, the ideologue doesn't distinguish between the uninvolved, out-of-the-loop, average American citizen who has nothing to do with the oppressive conduct that the United States has engaged in since, you know, since the end of World War II. Just as the average Russian citizen has nothing to do with the oppressive conduct that the Russian government and the Russian military engaged with.
Yeah.
For, you know, since World War II.
Well,
so I always, yeah.
I was just going to add something, you know, because what you're saying reminded me of another thing TM said, and it's that you people had the chance to vote this person in or that person. It doesn't matter who, what their sex is or what their race is. That there in and of itself is a lie, too, because we live in this country, and I'm sure it's that way in many other countries, especially where there are dictatorships. I mean, we're hearing about it in the news today, that elections are rigged. It's never been a fair and honest election. I can guarantee you that. If I spent the time doing that research, going from polling place to polling place, going through boxes and counting up all the ballots, wherever they're left, that is, you would find the corruption. We had corruption in the primaries during this past election. And nothing was done about it.
Yes.
It was publicized highly. So, again, we have a disingenuous statement based on disinformation. You know, this person he was talking to was obviously an agent. There was no doubt about that.
Of course, right. Of course, absolutely. That's evident. A Russian agent who's that high in the intelligence hierarchy that she was privy to the information about Barack, you know, that far in advance, must be pretty high up. Well, the guy she's talking to must be pretty high up in intelligence himself.
Yeah. And
they don't just pick a guy off the street, mm-hmm. you know, to have this type of conversation with.
But they made sure that the story was spun correctly from the beginning, the first time it came out, you see.
Yeah.
Because I can disprove everything she said, other than the fact that he's a communist.
They're using that to underpin the cover story about the Kenyan thing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, that was for that to come out at some time. And don't think I didn't try to discern what the purpose of this article, you know, that this communique from Tom Fife.
Yep.
You know. But on its face value, it seems very balanced and very fair. It's just making what appears to be an honest disclosure of a private conversation that he felt necessary to share with people. But I can tell you that there are half-truths throughout the whole thing. And we must pay attention to that because it has everything to do with what they're doing with the vaccines right now. And I know you wanted to spend some time.
Yeah, we'll spend just a few minutes there. The vaccines, I'm going to keep the vaccine concern, the pending or strongly hinted idea that they're going to force mandatory swine flu vaccinations this fall. I'm going to keep it at, you know, let's say on the top burner of my website until the issue is no longer a threat. Because I think, first, the American public needs to be reminded that The people in Congress are traitors. Obviously, the executive and parts of the judiciary are involved in bringing in the New World Order, but you can't depend on Congress to save you to do the right thing. They won't do the right thing. They're going to do what their Illuminati overlords tell them to do. What slows them down, though, is when the sheeple, when the masses get irritated and they respond in large numbers to the traitors in Congress, and that, being cowards that they are by nature, they tend to recoil. And unless a large segment of the population engages in very dramatic, forceful action between now and fall, they're going to force the people in this country to take a vaccine that is going to induce disease and, in time, death. If you don't know that even in normal times, vaccines are dangerous to human beings. They are very debilitating to the ones who get the vaccines first, babies and small children. I'm sure if my parents knew what I know about the dangers of vaccine, they never would have had me get vaccinated in school like everyone did for the polio vaccine and all these other things that we experienced when we were younger. But what vaccines presented then as a danger is entirely different matter of what we are facing today. The dangers today now exceed normal times in the past when it comes to vaccinations. Now we have a government in the hands of the New World Order, mobsters, banksters, gangsters, traitors, who realize or know that their takeover agenda is becoming more and more obvious to the average Joe Blow on the street in America or in France or anywhere around the country. The average citizen, probably because of the internet, is becoming more and more conscious of the manipulators behind their government, behind the scenes, who have been controlling and directing the course of their lives. And as we become more knowledgeable in this, they can clearly see that the day will come in which there will be a rebellion of sort, in which they will be displaced, and people who are truly interested in doing a fair and honest and righteous job as a government representative will replace them. They know that. So now they're getting so deep into their end game that chemtrails they had hoped, we've been sprayed with chemtrails for 11 years. It was assumed that the daily poisoning would have us all hacking and sick and half of us in the ground by now. The chemtrail poisoning operation has failed miserably, undoubtedly due to the help we've had from probably friendly forces, let's say, perhaps extraterrestrial forces, perhaps certainly because of the help of elementals and many humans who have quietly gone about, operations, let's call it, that have had a neutralizing effect on the poisoning.
Yeah, I'd say it's had, chemtrail springs had its toll on nature.
Oh, to be sure.
To an extent.
I'm not saying it's, what I'm saying is I think they had expected by this point, 2009, that many more people would have been severely crippled by the pathogens and the metals and, mm-hmm. and you know, the many toxic items, you know, the stealth viruses, bacterias, psychotronic, radionic weapons they've been using. And, you know, we're just not succumbing at the rate they presume. Obviously, AIDS did not work as well for them as they had originally hoped. Not to say that it's a minor matter. No, it's probably the greatest killer of all their bioengineered pathogens, but it hasn't gone down the way they thought it was. We just haven't gone into this panic mode, which they assumed we would, and all their other attempts to jack up a pandemic scenario. I don't have to tell you, just a couple of years ago with smallpox, and 4 years ago with SARS, and 9 or 10, I can't remember exactly, years ago was flesh-eating bacteria, and in the late 80s, early 90s, it was Ebola. I mean, they've tried and tried and tried. So failing in those external applications of disease mechanisms, now they want to inject you directly, just as they did with the over a quarter of a million Gulf War veterans who were injected with bioengineered pathogens that later turned out to be categorized as mycoplasma and other squalene oil and other things that caused this number of 225,000 goes back to the late 90s. I haven't, caught up with the story since then. This is when Joyce Riley was talking about this on the radio. Garth Nicholson was still involved in doing press conferences. The death toll was up to a quarter of a million troops from Gulf War I, which took place in the beginning of 1991. A quarter of a million men had died by the turn of the century. The numbers must be much higher than that now because it's contagious, it affected their families, et cetera. So we're not going to allow people to vaccinate us, the government, to vaccinate us against our will. And the only way to prevent them from going forward with this is we have to get real aggressive about it now. Because if we wait, then what's going to happen is they're going to press the envelope. They've been practicing their takeover maneuvers just this past weekend. As you pointed out, FEMA had a practice exercise in a number of states this past weekend. What are they practicing for? They're practicing for the martial law scenario. And the people need to know that taking this vaccine is the equivalent of committing suicide. We're not going to allow them to put us in a FEMA concentration camp, nor are we going to allow them to tell us you must be quarantined in their home, in your home. And the country, the bulk of the population, has to relay this message to their congressional traitor. Now, I just got a piece, which I posted on my website yesterday, of a group that is concerned about the so-called food safety bill. The latest one now is H.R. 2749. It's an absolute, fascist delight of totalitarian tyranny. You simply have to read it. I put a link on the very top of my latest articles. You can go to a website that's called endgame.com. And very, very able article that tells you exactly what's in this outrageous piece of tyrannical crap. And these a group set up a phone bank. They're calling it a phone lobby, in which you can reach your congressional staff through their website. By going through their website, they're registering how many calls are going to which congressional representative. They're not taking information about you other than to note, the two initials. But they want to be able to publish how many Americans going through their website are contacting their representatives, because naturally we'll never hear from the traitors. They'll never have a press conference say, oh, Jesus, last week I received over 10,000 telephone calls complaining about the food safety bill. No, they're not going to tell us that. So this is a very creative idea for, us ordinary folks to monitor just how many people are complaining about this food safety bill. Well, we should be doing the same thing about the vaccinations. More importantly, You need to organize locally. You just can't depend on a phone call. Parents, groups, people who care about health, who care about children, above all, the next generation. There is going to be no next generation unless the adults take care to prevent their kids from being vaccinated. Have to organize locally. They have to go down to their common council and get their common council, aldermen, whatever they're called in your town, city, or hamlet on the local level. It's nothing to pass a resolution. A resolution is not a law. It's just a statement from a body, from a political body. The statement should be that forced vaccination, mandatory vaccinations, are simply against the Constitution. They are the epitome of what is done in a tyranny, in a totalitarian society. This is the United States of America, a republic that's based on the U.S. Constitution and Bill of Rights, and this is totally in flagrant violation of not only our constitutional rights, but the Nuremberg Codes, international law, international treaties, etc. The government, no matter what the pretext, and of course the pandemic does not exist, it never did exist, they're simply trying to create with propaganda and their controlled media the script of a pandemic. Here in Orange County, California, which covers, you know, more than half of the area that is called Southern California, the newspaper is reporting 11 deaths of what they are telling us is swine flu. They also say in the newspaper that in all cases, the individuals who died, health were already severely compromised. A hospital, a clinic, a doctor can declare that, you know, his patient who just died in pneumonia died of swine flu. How are you and I going to be able to check that? They don't even publish the names of the individuals who died. How can we even check with the family? We can't.
Yeah, that's been my mantra during all.
Yeah, that's why I just want to repeat it. You cannot believe what you read in the paper. Of course, it's a propaganda mill. And if they're reporting a total of 11 people died since the swine flu epidemic took off, and this is the reason the Margaret Chan of the World Health Organization 6 or 7 or 8 weeks ago declared the whole world now is at level 6 pandemic. The reason she said that is there is no reason. It's just because these propaganda sources are telling us. I remember when the so-called swine flu first broke, the end of March, beginning of April in Mexico. In the first days, they were reporting 200 to 400 people died in Mexico City from the swine flu. Well, Don, about a week and a half later, the number had now reduced down to, Mexican authorities confirmed that 14 people had died. What started out as 400, a week and a half later is now to 14. People need to remember the newspapers are controlled. How many newspaper syndicates control the entire, all the newspapers in this country? It's either 3, 4, or 5.
Say 5.
Yeah. By 1915 or so, all the major newspapers in this country became controlled under, you know, Hearst and other big owners. There was no independent newspaper from 1915 forward. So people have to remember that. There is no pandemic. You can't believe what the newspaper says. And even though the newspaper reports 11 deaths, so what? That's not a pandemic. That's not a pandemic by anybody's stretching imagination. They're simply abusing the word. The word no longer has value as a word because they've abused it so much.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even an epidemic.
Yeah.
It's pandemic, despite what I just heard a propagandist on NPR radio say a few days ago, implies much more than the spread of the disease. every, quote, disease is spreadable. It wouldn't be a disease if it didn't spread. It couldn't be defined as a disease if it didn't spread in some manner. So just because the disease spreads doesn't mean it's a pandemic, as this NPR propagandist wished us to believe when I heard that nonsense on the radio a few days ago.
So what you're saying by transitive association is that communism is a disease.
Well,
it's spreading, right?
Talking about a biological organism.
Yes, I understand.
But I just want to emphasize the fact they're playing games with words, which is, you know, doublespeak, which is what you know, the New World Order usually does. They're implying that there's a grave outbreak of disease, so grave that the government is stepping in to the point that they're saying you must get a vaccine in the interest of public health. What they aren't saying is that the vaccine will kill you. Number two, they're saying you must be quarantined if you don't get the vaccine in the interest of public health. What they're not telling you is the FEMA concentration camp will kill you. They're saying you must be quarantined in your house for 3 months if you don't get the vaccine. They're saying you cannot go out and get food and water, which eventually will kill you. The government has no authority or right to say this. They've passed a total of 4 statutory edicts under which they're claiming the authority. All of them are a violation of the
Ken, are you still with us? Well, sounds like we've lost Ken Adachi. We'll try to make contact with him again here and see if he's still with us. Hopefully, he's going to come back. In any event, I will continue on. He might have to reboot or something. We'll see. Now, let's see. I've got the network talking to me, so let's see what's going on here. Oh, we've got a call that has come in. Seth, we've just lost Ken Adachi. I think he's rebooting, so I'll be trying to get him and see. We've got a call on the line anyway, okay? Caller, state your name, please, and where you're calling from.
Hello, Don. This is General Jeremiah. Just wanted to say hello again after a few weeks.
Yeah, it's been a while. How are you?
Doing fine. I didn't know if this was the appropriate time to call or what, but I thought I would say hello.
Well, yeah, we just lost our guest about a second or two before your call came in. I don't think you were responsible for it, but...
I'm sorry about that.
No, that's not your fault.
Who was your guest tonight?
We have Ken Adachi on. I'm going to try to bring him back into the call here.
I would like to say hello to Ken.
I think we've got him back. Ken, are you with us?
Back. I have no idea why I dropped out, Don.
Well, you were spreading the truth. I have a surprise for you, Ken. We have General Jeremiah, who called in on the 29th of May.
Oh, Lord.
From the United Galactic Federation. He just called in at the moment you dropped off. So.
Whoa.
Hello,
beautiful.
Ken. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. I'm so glad to hear from you. Thank you so much for calling tonight, General.
I'm very glad to. I've been meaning to, but time is of the essence in my work, so I have to find the appropriate time.
Thank you so much.
Well, General, I don't know if you've been listening to our show tonight, but we've been talking a bit about the fraudulent government we have in Washington, D.C., as well as the planned vaccination of billions of people around the earth. And I'm wondering how the Federation is looking at this. Obviously, they know this is going on.
I'll put out a word of warning, Don. From our investigations, this vaccination is a complete scandal, if you want to call it that, it will produce antigens in your body that you don't need, and it will produce maybe some viruses that cannot be contained. We were able to research some data that, and when we found out the data, then I thought I would warn you at least, and some others on the planet too.
Well, there are a bunch of people around the planet listening to the show tonight, so
yes.
we appreciate the confirmation.
It's going to be very difficult for your military and your government and the government employees to reject these antidotes, but if you can in any way, please do.
Okay, you're saying that to the military,
yes.
In other words. Okay.
Yes. Don, we have developed I will call it a serum that is combating your chemtrails that we observed from space even. This serum, it took us about 3 years to come up with an antidote for it, but we are now in the process of applying it all over around your planet. We have about 2,000 spacecraft per day flying around the planet. So hopefully this will annihilate some of the chemtrail damage that's been going on.
Has the Federation determined what the composite makeup of the average chemtrail is? We've reported certain pathogens and metals and compounds, including polymers, even nano-sized polymers, desiccated blood, anthrax, and the like. Can you confirm
definitely
any of that?
Anthrax. Definitely some anthrax in it. Every country that we've observed so far has different chemicals in the chemtrail, the samples that we've taken. So it's hard to say for, you know, what exact ingredients are in the chemtrails, but the pathogens you're mentioning are there. There's various metals like beryllium, cadmium. I can't recall all the others, but I have a report on it.
We know there's aluminum, gold dust, anyway.
Yeah, yes.
And I don't know all of them.
Yeah, barium is always high, barium.
Yeah, barium is one of the mediums through which they carry this. Because of acts like a surfactant in the air when it encounters humidity, and it causes sort of an environment where all of these things stay alive, or they become alive as they're introduced to the atmosphere and the changing humidity.
Hopefully, we'll have that problem completely solved in a few weeks. We just started our injection into the atmosphere on about the 1st of July.
So okay.
Hopefully the things will be under control.
Ken, would you like to ask a question? I'm sure you probably have a million.
Yeah,
I'm having a little trouble hearing you, and my engineer is working on that problem, but so far if you can hear me, that's fine.
Yeah, we can hear you perfectly clear.
Sound
clearer than we do. So,
yeah, you're.
Well,
coming
I'm not going to take up your whole
five.
Show. I didn't mean to. I just wanted to briefly.
No,
say
please,
hello.
Please take up the balance of the show. First, I want to thank you very much for calling in tonight. It's an enormous honor for me that you should call during an interview that I was having with Don. I want to thank you so much, and. I very much appreciate what you just reported. I intuitively felt and had gotten some hints from others who have more ability than I do that we were getting some assistance through the years from friendly extraterrestrial forces in the matter of not only chemtrail neutralization, but also disease proliferation. I believe you can share with us what you feel it's okay to share with, but I believe that the friendly forces played a huge role in disarming the SARS pathogen of 2004. I believe that was intended to be a, let's say, a big killer event, and I think the whole thing went south on them because I believe something was done perhaps on the DNA level to prevent humans from succumbing to that. Do you have any thoughts or comments on what might have been done in the past to neutralize engineered diseases such as SARS?
Yes, we have a team of scientists working constantly on this. I have about 100 men that are working on disease prevention. These are, I said men, but women and men. These people are so dedicated that I have to tell them sometimes to stop and rest. But they were effective in that 2004 event, and they're working on another one right now that's probably just as important. There is, in the plans, there are many viruses being released that are trying to bring the population under their control through manipulation of injections and whatever. But these injections, if we can get to them in time and warn the people, then hopefully they will not be effective. But we also are in the process of neutralizing this deadly virus that's about to be released.
Can you tell us where you're located at the moment? The last time you called into the show, I know you were located in one of your major motherships over Texas.
I'm in a ship that's about 1,000-foot diameter right now, and we're over. Let me look at my controls. Looks like we're over Oklahoma right now. But we're at a very high altitude, 26,000 miles above the planet.
All right.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Do you have any bars on your phone?
No.
I have a question, General, if I may insert one here.
Yes.
Ken, I'm going to preempt this part
please.
Of the show. In terms of what's going on here, as much as you can relate to us, I discern, and many others that I know that have my ability to discern things that are not on a piece of paper in black and white in front of me, that there are off-planet forces involved in what's going on here on the Earth on the dark side. That this agenda is not just the agenda of a collection of pathological liars and psychopaths intent on destroying the majority of humanity here, but that there is an outside agenda that's being fulfilled. Could you comment on that?
Most definitely. Three races that we know of are participating in this takeover of the planet. They have influence and put influence in every major capital, Washington, Moscow, all the Chinese capitals of every province.
Okay. I'm hoping you're still with us because it sounded like you got cut off in mid-sentence.
They are living in our countries, and they're blending in with society, but they have major roles in the Washington politics, put it that way.
Yeah, well, we sense that.
I will not.
Yeah, we sense that. There are others like myself, and I can probably include Ken on that, just on the basis of his own discernment and his own studies. And this is a hotly disputed item. Of course, a lot of it has to do with the propaganda that's put out to hide this. In fact, what we see in the movies, I often say, is intended to make us think that such thoughts are only fiction or fantasy, and that you only learn about these things if you buy a $10 ticket to sit in a chair and eat popcorn for a couple of hours.
I wish I had the opportunity right now to introduce you to the wonderful people from our Galactic Federation. You know, there are so many things I could go into tonight. Let me say this: the official title is the United Galactic Federation. This galaxy, in our language, our main language, is called the Galaxy of Hindon. So we officially go by that name, the United Galactic Federation of the Galaxy of Hindon. Now, that name originated centuries, millennia ago, from a planet that was the main ruling planet at that time in this galaxy. But we're humans, just like you, blue-eyed, blonde hair, brown-eyed, brown eyes and brown hair, black hair, a few redheads I've seen. But this is not uncommon to find aliens that have blended into societies and have taken over governments. This has been going on on this planet for like 500 years that we know of. So the Illuminati, as you call them, most of them are at least inbred with aliens or are aliens themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to give some information to you tonight that I've been holding back, but I felt like I should release it to you. You've been trying to find the real birthplace of your so-called president.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to look in Indonesia, in the province of Provinsi Bali, Provinsi, Bali, Bali. There's a city there by the name of Denpasar, Denpasar.
I've seen both of those names.
Yes, if you will search the records of that city, you will find evidence of his birth.
And I have been one of few in the world saying that Obama was born in Indonesia.
Well, you were correct.
I have been saying that.
That's a pretty large city, I think, 170-something thousand population, I believe. I can give you latitude and longitude if you need it.
Well, that would be helpful. You don't have to do it at this time.
Okay, I'll send that in a message to you then.
Okay. There's been no doubt about that in my mind from the beginning. And it's been, if you've read my research, you know that it's been very laborious to uncover the facts. But, you see, God has shown me the truth.
Right.
I give the credit to our Creator.
That's where the credit is due.
And
An intelligence team that's been working on this for several months, and they have come up with that data for me. And they're usually not wrong what they come up with.
Okay. Well, you can send me the coordinates later.
I will. Okay.
But this is fascinating. Ken, do you want to comment or ask a follow-up question on that information?
Well, I'm first, thank you for providing that. It certainly is. It's wonderful to have a precise location. Of course, Don, of all people, as well as myself, we're well aware of the fact that everything about the Obama story simply did not hold water from the beginning, and even ordinary people just working from their homes in a computer, if they apply themselves with any sort of diligence, could have seen that there is no way that such a relatively unknown individual could have risen to such a high place and get so much funding to become the president, having only become a junior senator from Illinois just a couple of years ago. So we knew the story was false. We obviously knew the Hawaiian birth ruse was just that. And so thank you so much. Is there other areas you wanted to go into on this call?
I just wanted to give you that information since I have been monitoring too. The momentum is picking up concerning his birth and the place of his birth. So I believe it won't be long until it's exposed. And I believe you folks, you and Don, will probably be the two of the ones that expose it.
Well, on the basis of your intelligence organization, what do they think of my intelligence in that respect?
They are amazed at times when they see what you found with limited technology that you have. But it's very accurate, Don, very accurate.
Well, that's thank them for backing me up on that and for that extra information, too. That
I have one gentleman that works in my intelligence staff that's been on the plant or been in operation here for 22 years, and he is amazed at what all has happened in the last 22 years. He studies every aspect of socio-political movements and what's taking place, and there is definitely looks to me like a move to become a socialist, communist, fascist nation.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we don't take that lightly.
No. You need to know that Russia's in a turmoil too, and so are other countries. But I was trying to think of other questions that you might be interested in, but those were the ones I came up with.
Can I just, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. No, that's all right.
Go ahead. Yeah. Well, of course, anyone, I would love to, much as Jim Murray, launch into many questions on technical matters of science and so forth, but I won't go there with this call, but I'd rather just ask you more of the nature of the, let's say, the quality of life and the nature of the political structure on some of the other planets that members of your ship there and the crew, because I know I believe there's a total of 574 planets that make up the Federation, so I suppose
correct. Yes.
Many crew members come from different planets, and I'm wondering if you couldn't take just a few minutes to... We saw some wonderful photos of that you had sent to Don of Balqui, and it looks very idyllic. I mentioned to Don that it looks very much like Switzerland based on the photos that you sent.
Yes.
So environmentally, it looks like a wonderful, clean environment to live in, but could you share a little about the... I presume humans are the same no matter what planet they happen to live on. I'm assuming the raising of families and schooling of children and ordinary work, jobs, and we're just terribly curious about how things such as the economies run. Does one use a currency, for instance, on other planets as an exchange of medium, or is there some other system of exchanging goods and services, it's et cetera?
I'll try briefly. I was on a planet about 24 hours ago. I had to go there with one of my assistants to help negotiate some trade that we've been needing, some commodities that we purchased from them, and they were a little bit reluctant to give up their commodities, but we had other commodities we could trade them that was equally important to them, so we did. The advantage of the Federation is we are it's not like a one-world government. It's a loose confederation of planets, but we all have the same governmental-type views and aspirations. Jesus himself visited each of these planets, and therefore they became Christians, and they became loving, godly people. Wars have stopped, and people live normal lives of happiness and peace, and they do work, the families work, they have children, they educate them in the quality schools they have. Most of the planets in the Federation are probably 1,000 years or more advanced than planet Earth. Some of the newer ones that are just coming in, I think the last one I looked at was 200 years, probably greater in technological things than you are. Mm. But the the peace that you feel when you get to one of these planets is not even describable, I don't guess. We sat on a beach last week at another planet. I was invited to a conference by the 24 elders. These are wise, godly men that rule the Federation. There's 24 of them, just like the 24 elders in the scriptures. These men are, I cannot describe their intelligence and how they are, but some of the most kind, wonderful people I've ever met. I sat in on their meeting, and they asked me to come and be a part of it. But we held the conference on a seashore by a beautiful, it was ocean front and a tropical paradise. And the planet is, there were three moons on this planet. You could see two of them were visible at night. The other one was on the opposite side of the planet. But the atmosphere is fresh air, clean air, wholesome environment. People worship, go to school, are educated, and their main goal is to raise their families and be happy. And,
yes.
And the politics is not a main center theme on any of the planets that are in the Federation. They have people that rule, and not rule, but have people that are in governmental positions that work with the Federation. The currencies are, we've developed an electronic system of currency, so there's really not much need for cash or paper money or gold or silver either, because it's all based upon precious metals. Everyone, all the 574 planets have just about, with a few exceptions, have adopted this currency or this mode of transactions.
Now, do you have bank holidays?
Only when the president of the bank gets tired and needs to rest.
If I may interject something here, and I know about the spiritual commitment that everyone in the Federation has, could you describe you have to some extent, at least you've alluded to the fact that these people are Christians, but could you describe their spiritual conviction and how they apply that to everyday life?
Well, basically, the Ten Commandments are the laws that rule the whole universe, and they do keep the commandments of God. Jesus taught each one, and every planet was not exactly the same, but pretty close to the same. His message was basically this: love your neighbor as yourself, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy strength, and all thy might. And the people live by those rules and those laws. Mm-hmm. And there's no war. It ended all war.
If they had the types that we have running the government just on their planets, what would they do with such individuals?
There are some remote planets that we banish those people to. It would be a comfortable environment for them, but they'll never be able to leave those planets and come back to their home planet.
Mm-hmm.
Brings up issues and causes problems and arguments, but that's usually squelched in a brief time period.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
I've not been to all the planets yet. Hopefully we'll get a chance to visit most of them, but my favorite so far is Balqui. That's why I sent you the pictures, Don. It's a paradise, is all I can say.
Mm-hmm. And for those listeners out there that wonder, I have to say I got primarily positive mail from the listening audience after the May 29th visit, your call.
Okay, good.
Of course, there were many who were interested in having some of their own questions answered, but I think a lot of people were in shock. And then there was a small percentile that questioned the validity of the call.
Sure.
You know, what could you say to, not that you have to prove anything, but, you know, to give them a bit of reassurance that this is not a prank call, as you stated on the first call?
You know, I don't know how to guarantee that. People have to have a certain amount of faith in you as a very above board and honest man, and you are, and they don't know me yet, but I'm sure over the next few months we talk from time to time, they'll get to know a little bit more about me. You have to have a little amount of faith to be able to believe in the things that we are telling the people right now. But look up, watch the skies. You'll see our spacecraft. We're flying. Sometimes we don't even try to hide ourselves. We can cloak our ships for obvious reasons, but sometimes we just fly in the completely visible. So be watching. You'll see some of our craft, and you won't have to worry. They're not to harm you. They're not come to harm you. They will try to, if they could land and talk to you, they would leave a very good impression upon you.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've seen your craft on more than one occasion, and you know, I've given the description on my show several times, especially in my discourses with Jim Murray. I see the craft itself, how it moves, how it turns, or spins, if you want to call it that. I've seen some pretty interesting gymnastics, especially when you were flying.
over Lake Erie, I was practicing mind control of the crafts, and I had not quite gotten to the point I could completely handle it. But
no, but I saw you turn the craft over on its edge like a plate in a dish rack,
yes,
drying off.
Yes. Right.
And that's not an exaggeration that I saw that, is it?
No. That was an accident, though, that night. We had some new equipment that I had not tried and tested, and I was just trying to get familiar with equipment. And the craft can be flown either manually or with your mind power. You put a little device on your head, and then your thought waves control the craft. So I was getting my thoughts synchronized with the equipment, and it was a little touchy that night. We were in a small craft, so it wasn't too
now bad. A request, General, from my listeners and my readers on my website.
Okay.
A lot of people are interested in seeing more, I don't want to use the word evidence, but just more of the beauty of our solar system and our galaxy, in terms of what we're not being shown and what we're not being told. I think those who are discerning will be able to recognize images and where they might be, or at least allow them to imagine that. Is there a possibility that I can make a formal request for some more visuals to share with people?
I will take that into consideration. I have a very good assistant that is very adept at pulling up pictures from other planets and all that. So I will get her to work on it very, very fast and see if we can come up with some more beautiful pictures of all these wonderful places.
Okay, can you have Jill send those to me?
I'll tell Jill. Jill is my little admin assistant that really is dedicated to her job, and she would work around the clock if I would let her, but she's going to school too, so I try to balance it out for her. I have an assistant commander, second in command of the Alliance spacecraft, and she has a lot of staff that works for her that's really... to refresh the memory of what those that did not hear the first time or forgot, we have 26,000 people assigned to the Alliance spacecraft, which is our mothership, if you want to call it that. And from that craft, we have about 2,000 other crafts, smaller craft, assigned to that. The craft that I'm talking about, the Alliance, is 15 miles long, approximately, and approximately 5 miles wide. So it's a huge vessel.
Yes, and I'll put my ticket at the top of the list.
Okay.
For that one.
We are in orbit around one of your other planets in your solar system, I'll put it that way.
Mm-hmm. And now, you shared with us the last time that many on the ship have been listening to this show. And
yes.
Is it becoming more popular now? Or
I made an official announcement about your show. If you really wanted to hear, if they really wanted to hear some interesting subject matter and some very good, intelligent people, then they could listen in on it, and gave them the frequencies and all that. So we posted it in several places. So I would say you have a considerable audience. Of course, they work different schedules, different time schedules. So some mm-hmm. will be able to listen to the archives, and some will be able to listen to the, you know, to the rate of the programming as it's airing. I don't know how many tonight, but I'll do a query when I get back to the ship.
Well, we want to extend our thanks for everything that everyone there is doing to assist us here, even though a lot of people don't see it. There are a few who know. And I can tell you that thousands of people have looked at the video presentation that I made of the pictures along with the audio from your interview on May 29th. And hopefully many, many more will be looking at that. But I'm appreciative of all the help in getting us photos and all the support that's out there, especially with this new information about the usurper in Washington, D.C. I think
right.
This is going to be interesting.
Well, let me say one thing. We have been in orbit and studying and working with planet Earth for almost 30 years now. The people that are assigned to this mission on the Alliance are so thrilled and so dedicated to their cause that they want to give, you know, they want to have contact with Earth humans if they can. And many of them have made contact through our medical teams that come down and minister to the poor Africans and whatever. We bring medical supplies, and we usually come in at night, though, so we can't be spotted, but it's not a safe thing to do, but we do it anyway. But we would like to be able to communicate with you, you know, all the time, so I will, from time to time, I will probably have some of these people in a position where they can talk with you and converse with you, too.
Well, that would be marvelous.
Okay.
If I just might add a point, I would like to mention to the general and to the crew who might be listening to this, as well as others in other locations in this galaxy who might hear these words, that there are untold numbers of people on planet Earth, ordinary people such as myself, who are simply sitting in their house and working in their house and living a relatively normal life, who have as great a desire to see an end to the proliferation of war, to see an end to those who would impose tyranny and enslavement over other people in place of harmony and justice and the desire to simply get along and live a life of peace, live in peace, and to pursue goals and opportunities in one's lifetime that are productive and creative and progressive in nature, rather than be geared towards trying to defend your life in wartime situations. So that it's wonderful to hear that this eradication of those who engage in war and live that in that world, have that consciousness of domination and war and destruction. It's wonderful to hear that they've been essentially isolated from the planets of the group you're involved with. And there are many people on this earth who are going to make it their business to also put an end to those on this planet who dominate, control, and push for war, and instead replace it with a world here in this beautiful blue-green planet, a world filled with people who have no thoughts of domination and totalitarian-type governments, who simply want to live in peace and in justice and enjoy the fruits of life. Life is such a wonderful gift. And
yes,
it's a great pity that we have to devote so much of our time trying to keep these spiritually retarded individuals at bay. But I know the day is coming, and I'm so happy and I'm so grateful that we get the assistance of yourself and the other people who are involved in your effort, and especially the wisdom of the elders that are involved in the oversight of your group, to, yes, please assist us in every way that is possible and permissible to help us free ourselves. I don't believe in the notion of looking for others to, quote, save us, but we certainly can use the supply lines and the assistance of like-minded troops, let's say, to assist us in overcoming these difficult days that we face now. But I'm convinced we will succeed, and the day will come in which we'll have a peaceful earth, and there'll be an end to the war mongers. And if they can behave and live in peace here, so be it. But they need to live on another planet where they can live that life fine. But we deserve better. There's too many good people here who simply want to live their life in peace and without any hostility towards any other person. So
yes,
thank you so much for assisting with these calls, because I'm sure your words are taken to heart by many people who hear them.
If I might add something general, while Ken was speaking,
sure,
and I was considering what this call means, in a sense, there are many of us who pray. I talk about prayer a lot on this show. I don't tell people how to pray, although I've described that effective prayer is a very simple process, and that it requires faith and
yes,
trust in God. And your call and what you're telling us the Federation is doing, in a very large sense, is an answer to our prayers. Those that would criticize what the Federation is not doing because they're not seeing a fireworks display upon your arrival, or something that resembles what they see in the movies or in an amusement park, doesn't mean that you're not here. And for anyone out there that's having trouble comprehending this whole experience, you need to step outside the box and talk to God and understand everything belongs to God. So there's nothing unusual about this call. There's nothing unusual about it coming through on technology, or the fact that someone is outside our realm somewhat, but could enter in a blink of an eye and be here with us. And in that sense, have always been here with us. That's basically what I wanted to say. Are you still with us, General? Well, now we seem to have lost communication. Ken, are you still with me?
Yes, I'm okay with you, Don.
He may call back in.
Yes. He briefly faded earlier when you questioned it, but he came back, so.
Okay, well, we'll continue talking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll get him back on the line here. or however he got through.
Yes. Okay, so we'll just muse for a few minutes in the event that he is able to call back. First, I'm extremely pleased he called while I was on the show with you. I can't tell you.
Sounds like they cut our line off, is what they did.
Well, but whatever the case is. But I'm so happy he did get through tonight. I would like to emphasize that too many people, it seems, make too much of the notion of technological capabilities. Frankly, it's clear that a group that's visiting Earth via spaceships is technologically more advanced than, you know, we are, or let's say what we're told about here, at least. It's not a big deal, in my opinion. So those who make much ado about a telephone call from 26,000 miles in space, we can do these things with Earth-bound technology. So why is it? Why do we express surprise if it's done with advanced technology? He mentioned that most of the planets are about 2,000 years. That's part of his group. The Federation.
I think we have him back.
Okay.
Yes, Don, I'm back. I don't know if your technician cut me off or what, but.
Well, he said the line went dead, so. I don't know what that means, but
we may have lost a signal. We moved from one location to another, so it could have been.
Okay, that might have been the problem. So the technology, our technology, is not working that well. did you get to hear my statement anyway?
No, I missed that. I was in the middle of a statement when we were cut off there, but I'm not going to say, but just a couple more minutes because I've taken up too much of your time. But,
okay.
Okay. Well, in essence, what I was saying is that the arrival of the Federation and what you're doing here, whether anyone wants to take that seriously or not, is in a sense an answer to our prayers. Everything belongs to God. Everything.
Yes. We are here on a spiritual mission. That is our main objective. We came here with that purpose in mind to try to introduce peace and the kingdom of God to this planet. And, you know, it's been a long battle, and it may eventually take hold. We're hoping that within next 10 years at least, we will have enough truth established on this planet that the usurpers of truth will flee to the mountains somewhere. But it's a hard battle.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing a good job exposing a lot of it, Don. You and Ken both.
Thank you.
Well, it's, as you know, as I've said often, I give the credit to God that, you know, I would much rather prefer just making music, to tell you the truth. I make a tremendous sacrifice, not that I believe in sacrifice in that sense of giving something up, but certainly the amount of time that I devote to research and this radio show and writing and compiling my research and then communicating it really takes up a lot of time that I would be doing the love of my life, and that's music.
Right.
And I look forward to the time. I have this inner knowing that I'll be able to return to that 100%, and that we'll be playing music on this show.
Oh, I'm sure.
And
I will say good night. And it's not night where I am right now, but to you it's night. So, and all over the world, the people that are listening, I appreciate your sincerity and hope that you'll listen to what Don has to say. He's doing a very good job. I will give my regards to all of my staff and all of my people that are on the Alliance. And we have started something new. There's people on all of our planets that are wanting to know about our mission. So we are transmitting your radio show back to some of the planets so they can hear what it's like. So I don't know how general the broadcasting is around the planets, but you're being picked up on other planets too.
Okay, well, that's for all the naysayers out there, you know.
Okay.
And it's a shame that Google won't count that, you know, in my ratings.
A gentleman from the planet Gimpol cornered me last week, I guess, sometime, and he said, that is the most interesting show. Now I understand what happens on planets that are not part of the Federation. I can see the turmoil that's there. So anyway, he was very excited about learning.
Well, let's give a shout-out to everyone on Gimbal. And thanks so much, General, for calling in tonight. It was an enormous thrill and honor, and we look forward to your next call.
And I'll give my best to everyone, too, General.
I shall. Yeah. There's several that told me to do the same to you. Okay, I must run. We have to go back to the lines. So I shall talk to you soon.
Okay, thank you so much for your call. And call anytime.
I love you in Christ Jesus. He's my king and your king too, I'm sure.
Amen.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Be safe.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Woo!
Well. Wow, that was wonderful. Gee, what a thrill.
Could you feel the connection, the energy that was flowing through the lines?
I mean, we're
wearing headphones and using microphones and that.
I feel a gladness inside the fact that he called in and he's helping give the folks in this world who have been, who might be listening to the show, have been too easily defeated by the dark side. And these dark masters really want humanity to think that they are in total control of everything. You can't get out from under them. They've got you. You can't do anything about it. You're their slaves, yada, yada, yada. And it's simply not true. And when he calls in and his calls can't be stopped, they can't be blocked, he doesn't need their permission to go here or there. We need to think and feel the same way because we are free. You are as enslaved as you think you're enslaved. And what I love about the fact that he calls, he shares some, let's say, special intel as he did tonight, and he might share some very interesting anecdotes about other planets, and we can just sit here and enjoy these conversations like we were sitting together in your living room, Don, and just having a pleasant exchange. We are one. We are humanity, and humanity is throughout the galaxy. And it just thrills me with a sense I got a call from a brother tonight, and I've known they were there. I mean, I just felt it that we have friendly people who are trying to assist, the righteous-minded, the good people of this earth to overcome these tyrannists and these dark masters, and we're going to do it. I just feel it inside. We're going to do it. So I just feel a sense of elation, and we just got a call from a brother who him and all those who are working with them, they've been able to completely rid their planet of the warmongers and the usurpers and the dishonest and the connivers, etc. Well, we can do it too, and we're going to do it, and it's kind of a thrill to be alive at this time during this great change that's coming upon us. Yeah. Naturally, the dark side wants us to think that the change is going to be their total domination. I got news for them. The change is going to go the other way. Mm-hmm. We're going to throw them off, and we're going to begin with letting them know we're not taking any vaccinations, which he just said in the beginning of his call. Anyone who looked at the data, anyone who read, anyone who saw what they tried to do in the past, of course they're laced with disease-inducing agents. That's why they want to put it into your bloodstream. They want to cripple you. They want to give you a virus that you can't shake. Of course, this is what they did to those poor men who were betrayed in Gulf War I. And this is why the men who are currently in the military who are hearing this have to take what he said to heart. Now, I understand how difficult it is when you're in the military and they tell you to line up to get a vaccine. What are you going to do? Well, what you got to do is enough of you got to say, wait a minute. Remember Gulf War I? You know, we're not going to be the next set of guinea pigs. You've got to take a stand, because I'm sure there are men in positions of command. They're not all part of the New World Order. They're just as concerned about the welfare of their men as the men are, as the troops are. But, you know, this is an unusual time now, and they have to stand up for what's right. The point is to do what's right. If you think it's the right thing to let them vaccinate you when you know full well that that vaccine is loaded with a pathogen, well, then you just committed suicide. Can you live with yourself for doing that? You're going to do that to your family? I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't. I'd make it known. No way. And there's the Nuremberg Code already exists. They cannot vaccinate even military people against their will. It's in the Nuremberg Code. And the United States government is a party to those protocols.
Well, it's in God's laws, too, if you remember.
Yeah,
recall
I'm
what
just
he said.
Saying that. But on the legal basis, the legality is already there. It's in place. And, the current military simply have to step up to the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And if they'll back down, I remember during Clinton's deal there, they tried to, if you recall, it's somewhere between 97, 98, towards the end of his administration, they were trying to push the so-called anthrax. And a number of flyers, particularly officers, Air Force and Navy, said, no way, I'm getting out. And they just backed off. So that's the thing. These people are cowards. If enough of the military say, no way, with one loud voice, no way, sir, they're going to back off.
And it should be the same with those that fly these chemtrail planes, too. You know, there's no difference between them and the doctors that would administer these vaccines. And that was good news to get confirmation about what you and I and some others have been saying for years about chemtrails.
Of course. Absolutely.
And the news that they've come up with a solution to eliminate it. And there have been fewer chemtrails, I have to say.
Very much so. And if you recall at the beginning of the talk, I did say, and I did allude to the idea that, you know, the info came from other sources, but my own intuition was leading me in this area. But I did get confirmation from, well, let's say indications from other sources that indicate that there was friendly extraterrestrial help in, mm-hmm. working on both the neutralization of particularly SARS mm-hmm. and assistance in the chemtrail detoxifying aspect. In many cases, we could see cloud formations, which we call cloud ships. Now, we deduced that these cloud ships, it looks like a saucer tape, vehicle, a spacecraft is surrounded by a cloud. That's why we're calling them cloud ships. They certainly look like it. Mm-hmm. If they were very dark, we had the idea that they were operating with Dor energy, so we took that to be the negative alien group. But if they were whitish, we took that to be the more friendly group. We saw many instances of these cloud ships appear in heavy chemtrail activity, and you're getting the idea they're doing something here. They're helping in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Just as, you know, the negative alien ships try to do negative things, but we've got friendly help that, as the general mentioned tonight, is going the bat for us. That's why it's been extraordinary, the change in the atmosphere that I've noticed in the last few years. Chemtrails simply can't take off the way they used to. We've mentioned in many shows there are day after day after day in which I see either no or next to no chemtrail activity. The sylphs come out instantly. I'm getting more and more photos and videos from people sending me sylphs. I just had a man from Germany send me one magnificent sylph in Dusseldorf, Germany. I'm going to put it up. I just had a man in Spain, wonderful guy named Nacho, who's been sending me magnificent sylph photos over the Pyrenees Mountains. He's just sent me another magnificent videos and stills. I'm going to be putting that up. So here's the good news. We're winning the war. The way you win the war is you determine that you're not going to allow the dark forces to defeat you. And then help comes in. You ask for help from God. You ask for help from the spirit world. You will get it daily. You ask for help from the air elementals. You'll get it daily. Just ask for help. And in the case of our friendly extraterrestrials, those who can hear broadcasts, those who have the ability to monitor brain waves so they can pick up your thoughts, we welcome your help. We welcome your assistance. The negative guys, we don't particularly need you. Go away. Go back to your dog planets, wherever that might be, and just do your thing there, because your time here is coming to a close. So this is the mindset that a lot of people have to take on. The mindset that we're not going to be defeated, quite the opposite. We're going to defeat these dark forces. And we're not going to allow tyrannies to be imposed on our life. We're going to prevent them. We're going to stop them before they even get started. So that's why we have these talks. That's why we put up these articles. But people need to take action. Just hearing the good news via the radio or via, something on written text is not enough. You got to take action. So it's not enough to just listen and be a spectator. Get in the game. I had a woman write me a letter a couple weeks ago that essentially she was just finding out in the New World Order, very worried, very startled, very frightened, very panicky, and what to do. I've had many of those letters, and I understand. I remember when I first found out about the New World Order, it's scary when you realize just how dark these dudes are. But we don't have the luxury of time anymore to hold people's hands and nurture them along. You need to come up to speed, and you need to get in the game. I think that's what I call the piece. It's stand up and get in the game. That's the message I'll close with tonight. If you're hearing me, no matter what you do in life, get up, stand up, and get in the game. The time to fight is now. So I'll stop my speech and let you close up.
Okay. You're reading my mind, because we are out of time, and we do have to take action. So tonight, Ken, it's been a pleasure. I know this was as much a surprise for you as it was for me. And you handled it very well, all things considered. I'm sure there were probably 1,000 or more questions flooding your mind, and it becomes, which one do I ask? But I look forward to getting more pictures. I'll post those on my website, and as well as probably do another little documentary of this call. And share this with people that missed the show. It's looking bright. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel, if you know what I mean.
Beautiful.
Thanks for being on the show tonight, and I'm sure you're going to want to get your hands on this archive, so I'll try to grab it and get it posted on my site ASAP.
Thank you, Doug.
I've been catching up on archives lately, catching up but not up to date, but making progress. A usurper has taken a lot of my time. And we'll probably take just a tad bit more after tonight's revelations. I want to thank you for being on the show and look forward to your next interview here on Evident Footprints. That will be in August, I hope.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ken. You have yourself a good night. I want to encourage anyone out there who hasn't visited Ken Adachi's site to go to educate-yourself.org. You can start by clicking on the little CN, current news, up in the top of the left-hand side of the page. He's got a treasure trove of articles there. It's a good starting point to see what's going on now. I'm sure Ken's probably going to post something about tonight's show as well. Mm-hmm. So that's the place to go find that. Okay, so Ken, wish you the best until your next visit, and I'm going to say goodnight now. You have been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Ken Adachi. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me on Republic Broadcasting Network tomorrow on the Born on the 4th of July show, and I will be with Drew Raines on a Marines disquisition. You can hear that over Wind Talkers Radio Network or on Blog Talk Radio. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.